Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Much to cover today. You know, Scott Connor is not with me. He had something come up today, and we're going to just roll without him.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Scott's a good guy. He helps out, and he had something pop up. So I'll pitch in myself here, which I don't mind doing. Scott's a smart financial guy, but he's also a great dad and a great husband. So he's got a little time off to take care of some things. But I'm going to go ahead and get into the market then. All right. So what happened in the market on Monday? As Scott would say, it was a boring trade. That's what he would call it. So what does that mean? Well, if you looked at the market all day like we do, managing money for our clients, then we saw the market move all over the place, down 50, up 50, all over the place. And it settled in, basically was flat. The Dow closed down 17 points to close at 12,101. So pretty uneventful. You know, it's actually a good example of if you skip the middle of the day and just look at it from the beginning to the end, a lot of times, a lot of the noise shakes itself out, but it still is some of that volatility that we need to pay attention to. So after last week, boy, it was ugly. So this is a lot better to be only off a smidgen. And, you know, I was watching it as the market was about to close. And when I was watching that, I was like, well, okay, is it going to be up? Is it going to be up? Is it going to be down? And it, boom, it was down. It's like it was swinging 30, 40 points literally at the end of the day. S&P closed up a smidgen, just a little tiny one basis point, 0.01% to close at 1278. NASDAQ up a little more, about 0.5%, down up about 12 points, close 2760. Oil up 1% to close at $84 a barrel. I would not be surprised though for that to slip. There's all kinds of rumors flying around what kind of oil prices and or what kind of gas prices will we see at the pump this summer. And I really would not be surprised to see it get down to $3 a gallon at the pump. We'll see. 10-year bonds, which is a measure of what it costs our government to buy the use of that money for a 10-year period, but it's also a trading tool. People put a lot of money into 10-year treasuries as a safe haven, especially big-time investors. The 10-year bond, the yield is actually up by 4% to yield at 1.5. It was down below 1.5%. Now it's back above. Dollars to euros, it takes $1.25 U.S. dollars for 1 euro. That's up about 0.5%. And gold is off a little bit. The gold bugs are not happy. Gold is not jumping back up with what is perceived to be a bit of a crisis that we're seeing still. And we throw this word crisis out a little bit too loosely probably today in today's markets and our economy. But the G7, the group of seven leading industrialized powers are meeting emergency talks about the euro debt crisis. And so that's coming up. And it's all about Spain. It's, of course, always about Greece. You know, for a $340 billion economy, not really a big economy on the world stage, Greece is always the subject of the talks because of their debt. But gold, $1,600 an ounce, $1,618. And as I said, just down a little bit. So that's what's going on around the world. Those are the market numbers. A lot of folks weighing in saying what's happening with the market. Something that caught my attention was George Soros had weighed in. He, of course, big currency trader, made a lot of money trading currency over the years. And he weighed in and had some comments. I actually had to go in and type a little response to the article like is fun to do on Yahoo. And his basic comment in a recent interview was that he hopes that Germany does the right thing. And basically, paraphrasing Mr. Soros, that they continue to bail everybody out in Europe and continue to tote the debt. Maybe they're going to back up some sort of euro bond. But, you know, it strikes me as, I don't know, it just rubs me the wrong way that a country that has succeeded financially and through, obviously, the Germans are well known for their work ethic. Doesn't mean the other ones are lazy. It just means that they're well known for that reputation and that they've done well with their steering their economy, that now they have to pay for everything, fund everybody, pay for their debt, give them breaks on their debt. And no wonder they're equivalent of our 10-year treasury. Their yield is even lower because so much money's gone into that as opposed to the others. And Spain is approaching close to 7% on its debt, the interest it has to pay on its 10-year note. So there's a lot of concern around the world. Scott will be back tomorrow to come in and we'll talk more about what's happening in the market, break it down a little bit more detail. But to the Soros of the world, I say, you know what? The countries that have worked hard, or the people that have worked hard, can't always bail out the ones that don't. You know, it strikes me of the old story of the grasshopper and the ants, okay? It's like we have 1,000 grasshoppers and one ant trying to carry all the grasshoppers. Anyway, that's my update, which is a little different than Scott's update. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with our guests. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have another special guest. I have just been peppering you with special guests on the program. And this one's a little different, but I always try to bring you something that is real and relevant to you. And so on today's program, I've asked Judge Brian Feigenbaum to join me. And he is running for re-election to the county bench. Not right? How do I say that a better way, Brian?
I'm sorry. I got to clarify because I was appointed to the bench 2 years ago. So technically, I can't say re-elect.
Okay.
You could say keep or retain. But I'm a current judge with a challenger, so I am going to be on the August ballot.
Okay, August 14th ballot, 2012. So there you go. You won't even let me get a little bit of another way of saying it in there. You're already showing me you're a good judge.
Well, I have to be careful because there are all these rules about what you can say as a judge, what you can't. But that's one thing I have to be clear, that I was appointed by the governor 2 years ago. So good. I am a current judge, so I can't say elect. This is the first time I'll stand for an election.
All right, fair enough. Well, there you are. And there you are, ladies and gentlemen. That is Brian Feigenbaum, who is here on my program. And so you are going to be on the August 14th ballot. Before we started, one of the concerns you had about is making sure people know that they need to vote on the 14th, not wait till the presidential election.
Well, it's important, of course, to vote in both opportunities you have, but I'm only going to be in this race is only be on the August ballot. There are several important races on the August ballot. There's a state attorney race, clerk of court race. There's another judicial race for an open seat. But yes, August 14th, and there's a week of early voting beforehand. And that's when I need to encourage people to try to get out to the polls in August.
Well, and that's all good stuff. And so I wanted to have Brian come on and talk with us because I think a lot of people don't really know what a county judge does. It's a little bit of a mystery. What is a judge? I mean, we hear about judges around election time and we see a bunch of signs and people are, you know, or the telephone's ringing, you know, telling you to vote for this particular judge. So a couple of things I think our listeners would love to hear. First of all, tell us what a county judge does, what you do, and then we'll get into a little bit about what you're trying to do and why they should definitely check the box next to your name in August.
Thank you. And I want to thank you for inviting me on your radio show, too. County judges, there's either a criminal or civil division. And my background was that I spent 20 years as a prosecutor. After I got out of Florida law school, I'm 20 years in this community as a prosecutor. I did grow up in this area and went to the local high schools.
Seabreeze
83. After 20 years as a prosecutor, I put my name into the hat with 43 other lawyers in front of the Judicial Nominating Commission. So it wasn't easy to get on the bench. You have to go through a pretty vigorous background check and interview. I was one of six names that went up to the governor then and was very, very fortunate to get appointed 2 years ago. So there's a criminal division and a civil division. Civil division is where I'm assigned, and my bench is in both New Smyrna and DeLand, although I cover a lot of things in Daytona. I handle everything up to $15,000 in lawsuits. I also handle small claims, which is up to $5,000. I have traffic court responsibilities, which actually includes animal control matters, city ordinance matters, voting matters, a whole range of things. And I have to sit and listen to everyone and try to make the follow the law and use my common sense and get to the truth of the matter and try to make decisions to settle disputes.
It's a volume business, I'll bet.
There are a lot of very busy days, and every case is important to each of the parties, and you have to be very mindful of that. People come in there, nervous, and this is every case is important to them, and you have to be mindful to respect everyone's position and hear everyone out. Don't let people interrupt each other, and you listen to all sides, and then make the best call you can.
I think the thing I heard you say, I met you here, and I've known you for a while, but I also got a chance to listen to you talk a little bit, and I was over at Rice Rose for a reception for you there, and I heard you talking about that, where you were talking about how important it is to hear the person out and to listen to what's really going on, and that fairness. I said before we started the program today that part of what I thought was helpful about having you come on and talk about this, because, we talk about financial topics on this program, it's real money, but having a stable, fair, strong judiciary function, a way of settling these claims and these litigated items, it's all about having a good, stable economic system.
You're absolutely right. I deal with a lot of people that are facing evictions, or people that have dealt with credit card problems, businesses that are being sued, or businesses that are suing to collect money. And every day I see how tough economically it is for people out there. You have to listen to all sides. Sometimes you try to, you ask questions, find out what the motivations are behind what's presented, because sometimes not everyone's sharing you all the facts. And that's where my prosecution help, actually, my background really helps, trying to get to the bottom of things.
Okay, very good. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have Judge Feigenbaum back with us. He is running for Volusia County Judge. The website is judgefeigenbaum.com.
Yes, sir.
And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back, and we have Brian Feigenbaum. I'm going to make sure I say that correctly. My sister-in-law went to Seabreeze High School, graduated same year with Judge Feigenbaum, so I called and said, make sure I got that name right, Sandra. And she did.
Well,
she got it right.
It's not an easy name.
No, but it's a good name, and you won't forget it. And the website is Judge Feigenbaum. Let me spell it for everybody. Feigenbaum, BAUM.com. Now, the tie-in to a financial show is that you're doing stuff every day that deals with financial matters. You have people that are coming before you. And, I know that some listeners may say, well, you know what? $5,000 to $15,000 doesn't sound like a lot. But for the people that come before you, it's everything.
Well, I can't
speak sure it sounds that way for them.
I can't speak for everyone else, but it means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Some
people may say that, and I just want to make sure that you can help people understand it means a lot.
Well, it means a lot to everyone, and I worked for the state for 20 years, so I understand how a couple hundred dollars means a lot of money, and you don't want to see it thrown away, and you want to fight for, to defend your name and honor or your business's reputation. So people take this all very seriously. Every case, I don't care if it's $50 or $10,000, everyone deserves to be heard fairly on both sides.
Amen to that. So what do you see most commonly that, how many cases have you seen before you? You were appointed in 2010, so I only can imagine the number of cases you've seen.
Well, I can't even begin to tell you an exact number. I deal primarily with bench trials because for very rarely do people request jury trials with these type of matters. And I probably have had hundreds of, wow. of trials, although oftentimes these kind of trials are things you can have in about 2 hours or 3 hours, depending on the number of witnesses and evidence. It's very busy. Now, if I have traffic days, I can, in the land, I'll have, they call them trials, but you could have about 10 in one afternoon.
They're more almost like just a ruling, right?
Well, it's pretty quick. You're sort of like the people's judge. You have to hear the law enforcement side and the civilian side, both sides, and make your best call about what happened out there and follow the law.
Okay. And so the other thing I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned people dealing with lawsuits, the credit cards, a lot of these things. And you mentioned a lot of these are where people are representing themselves.
That's true. Small claims court is designed to make it more accessible for people because if the cause of action is like $1,000, it may not, in their mind, pay to hire a lawyer, though oftentimes lawyers do get involved in small claims matters. But people can represent themselves either as a plaintiff or defendant in small claims actions. And I deal with a lot of that.
Well, there's an old saying, of course, I'm sure you've heard, that anybody can sue anybody for anything.
That's true. You see sometimes you see very frivolous things and then you have to do the right thing and be respectful. But, you say there's no cause here and there's no liability and you find for the defendants. I see this all the time where a businessman has to defend himself and sometimes there's nothing behind the suit.
And when that happens, this is something I would ask if I'm out there listening to this program. Is there anything that punishes or is some sort of compensation to the business owner who's had to defend themselves or whoever it is had to defend themselves from something that was frivolous and you say, okay, I fine for the defendant, but you know what I'm trying to say?
Sure. And I guess one caution thing for someone to bring a frivolous lawsuit is you may be find yourself liable. A lot of times a business will hire a lawyer and you may be on the hook for attorney's fees that can be significant. So that's something that you do have at your disposal to make the other side pay for bringing a frivolous lawsuit.
So they have skin in the game.
That's true.
So if you have something where you've said, okay, I'm ruling in favor of, and I think this is, you have the discretion as the judge on whether or not you're going to award the other side the legal fees for having to defend themselves.
Sure, within reason. I mean, you can't just ask any attorney's fees. It has to be what's reasonable in the community and a reasonable amount of hours and justify what you're seeking. But yeah, you deal with attorney's fees issues as part of my job too.
I'm sure you've seen some pretty crazy, this is the word, it's probably not the right word, but pretty exotic or unusual claims or cases and anything that you could share with us that's really bizarre that people would be surprised have come before you?
Well, I could talk to you for an hour about different cases. I've had cases dealing with neighborhood disputes involving dogs that pee in the neighbor's yard and the neighbors get riled up on each side. You see neighborhood disputes. I've seen mothers suing sons. I've seen family disputes. That really, it's very sad sometimes the amount of energy and anger you wish could be handled somehow differently. Sometimes people bring their problems to court. They get law enforcement involved on things that aren't well motivated. So you do see a lot of sad things.
All right. So we are joined in our studio today by Judge Brian Feigenbaum, who is running for Volusia County Judge. And the election is August 14th, 2012. And that's coming up pretty quick. So people need to remember to get when they vote, that they made to be sure they vote in the primary, and they can also get a absentee ballot for the primary as well, right?
Right. The Supervisor of Elections, I think, just sent out a notice to all voters about that. There's early voting the week beforehand, first week of August. So I really need to encourage people to take the time to look at everyone's credentials. I had over 200 jury trials, won many awards as a prosecutor. Was the prosecutor of the state in 2008, Mothers Against Drunk Driving prosecutor of the year. But in civil, I've done very well. If you looked at the poll that the lawyers recently did, I came out with very, very good marks. So I think I've proven that I've been able to handle the job and represent the community well. It's a privilege to be a judge in this area, and I strive to continue to serve this community I love.
That's what we need. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back, and we're giving you a little bit of a different show today. We have Judge Brian Feigenbaum in the studio talking about his running for Volusia County Judge. He was appointed back in 2010 by the governor and has, I can't believe the number you gave me, over a couple hundred cases you've had in front of you during that period of time.
Well, I mean, as a prosecutor, I had over 200 jury trials. I don't think anybody in the circuit had more jury trials.
Wow.
But since I've been on the bench, I've had hundreds of non-jury trials. Different matter. You know, as a prosecutor, though, I handled a lot of complex economic crimes, frauds, schemes, condominium situations.
Scams.
All kinds of scams, bankruptcy situations. So I had a pretty good grounding as a prosecutor. And as a prosecutor, too, you have to be a minister of justice and do the right thing. You don't just listen to what one side brings in. You have to listen to both sides to make a fair decision. And I think I was trained to do that, and I seek to keep doing that on the bench.
Working as a prosecutor before you were on the bench, one of the things I'm hearing you say that's kind of interesting to me is that you have a duty as a prosecutor not to win, but part of your job is that justice. It's not, you know, I think sometimes people think, well, the prosecutor's out to get me no matter what.
Well, that's not actually true. Now, of course, you want to win, because if you make a decision to go to trial, that means you've done your homework and
you think you have a case.
Hopefully, you know, you've done your background and you feel very confident that you can prove a case. But you always have to keep an open mind. You know, I knew as a prosecutor, I see as a judge, that sometimes the other side has motivations. Or, you know, a victim may not be telling you the whole story. You have to listen to everything. Sometimes law enforcement makes mistakes. Everything has to be viewed and judged with some skepticism to make sure no one's trying to use the system improperly.
Back to one of the things I thought also was interesting is a fair number of people are having legal representation, hiring an attorney, but a lot of people come before you without a lawyer. And so to those people, you know, if somebody's thinking about, okay, I'm going to file, and they might be before you, I'm going to file for a lawsuit. I'm asking for $10,000 or $4,000 or whatever it is. What are some of the things you see where you say, you know, if I were advising them, you know, that you think that people could be more prepared or, you know, more efficient with the court's time?
Well, I think if it's possible, I think one is always in a better situation if you can hire counsel, someone who knows the rules of evidence, someone who has got knowledge of precedents or knows how to get evidence in. I think that would always be wiser. But there are people that do excellently on their own. You certainly could do research at the law libraries or come in, and I've seen people do terrific jobs on their own. There is the Central Florida Legal Services Agency, which does help people that qualify depending on their income, that can provide some free representation in civil matters. Of course, in the criminal realm, you would have a public defender if you were indigent. You know, people need to understand you can't just bring in documents. You need to bring in witnesses. You have people that bring in estimates or letters from other sources, and that's hearsay. It's not going to be allowed in. The clerk's office can help with subpoenas. If you have a roofing dispute or a plumbing dispute, it's good to bring in a plumber or a roofer to make sure the judge understands the basis for what you're saying, that was shoddy workmanship or good workmanship. You can't just rely on bringing in an article you read on the internet or a letter a friend of yours wrote or a plumber wrote. You need to bring in the actual person, bring in the evidence. So people do make that mistake. They think, well, I have this letter here. Isn't that good enough? That doesn't give the other side a chance to cross-examine. You have a right to confront evidence of witnesses against you. So that's something I try to stress, but sometimes people still make the mistake of coming in with, you know, an estimate or a bill and not someone to verify it or back it up.
I think the thing that I hear loud and clear is if what you said at the beginning, if you can afford an attorney, you better get one. You know, some of them, as you say, can really come in and do a good job for themselves, but I know enough to know that I don't know. And so the first thing I would do is I'd be on the phone talking to my attorney.
Right. And there are lawyers, too, that do some pro bono work. You could always call the Volusia County Bar hotline and talk to them because there might be lawyers that might be willing to work for less money than you think. But it is important, if it means enough to go to court, to try to make sure you're prepared.
Sounds good. Sounds like it's really key for people to know what they're getting into. And so anything about your the election itself that you want to talk about in terms of, you know, where you are and maybe you are not running unopposed. You have a competitor in the
race?
That's
right. That's what happened. 2 days before the deadline, a lawyer jumped in to challenge me. And I do need to clear that up because he has the same name as a retired judge, retired in 2000. So I've run into this where people think I'm running against another judge or there's a retired judge running. And there was a judge in this area with the same name as my challenger, Michael McDermott, but they're not related whatsoever. So I do need to clear up that that issue. I have one challenger. I'll be on the ballot in August. There is a separate judicial race with five lawyers running for an open seat, but this is very different. This is a countywide race, nonpartisan. Anyone could vote. And I sure appreciate anyone's vote and be happy to follow up and meet with any groups or any people to explain my background better.
I'm sold. Well, I love that. You know, I'm looking at all of your material. You've got a lot, great background. You know, you've obviously done this work. I've seen some of your things. You got a beautiful family and you're longtime resident of the area.
Right.
So, and you know this area.
Well, like I said, I've been here since I was 5 years old. I have a wife, three kids that go to the public schools here. Have a great black lab named Molly. I was involved in the Big Brothers program. You know, I love this area, and I enjoy the people of this area, but I sure would like to keep serving the public here.
I think the thing that is really important, as we talked to Brian Feigenbaum about his election in August, is that a lot of people they just don't know about judges, and you know you throw a yard sign out, and people say, "Oh, hey, I saw the name." And the other tendency, and I know you've seen this, and that's why it was so important for you to clarify that you were appointed and you've served for the 2 years, and now you're being elected. Is that very often, you know, when we say, "Oh, well, it's kind of like this. Ah, they're doing okay," and we just check off whoever's already there. We say, "Keep them, keep them, keep them, keep them." So I think that's something that people understand. This really is an election.
It's an election. And the ballot doesn't say who the incumbent is. It doesn't make clear. That doesn't say that. So not many people know about judges. They don't follow it that closely. So I just have to encourage people to vote and look at someone's background. And I can just say that I think I've proven over 22 years in this area that I can do good work for this community, and I want to be fair to all the citizens and businesses of this area.
Well, and from a financial standpoint and a tie-in to our show, from you know, we talked about this earlier, having the ability to have a process, and you see this big volume of things going through, credit cards and disputes, having that is really essential for our economy to work. Because without that, you can't really have a strong economy if you've got chaos, you know?
No, I agree. There's got to be rules. You know, I deal with evictions. I deal with people with all sort of financial disputes. And there has to be a place where you know you can be heard fairly. And, you know, someone that's going to listen to all sides, not make a quick judgment, but listen to everyone and take it seriously.
Well, I think our listeners should take you seriously, Judge Feigenbaum, Brian Feigenbaum. His website, judgefeigenbaum.com, F-E-I-G-E-N-B-A-U-M, Feigenbaum, judgefeigenbaum.com. They can get more information about who you are and what you're about.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Our pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.